We're in Lamentations chapter 3. It's an extremely long chapter, so I'm not going to read all of it for you, but I am going to highlight several phrases, and we're going to read a chunk of it today because I think there's a lot of it that we need to deal with. But last week we dealt with fear and worry, and this week we're going to deal with this idea of depression or this emotion of depression. And the first thing you need to know about depression, it typically happens on a continuum. On one end of the continuum, you have depression. On the other end, you have discouragement. And so the question then goes, well, how do you get from just discouragement, which is an emotion we all feel probably almost every single day in our life, to all the way to depression? Now, to get there are several factors that are typically at play that most of our counselors will tell us. There's spiritual issues that are at play. There's physical and biological factors that are at play. There's psychological factors that are at play, and even social factors at play. So I want to let you know today, I'm only going to be addressing the spiritual factors that could be at play in contributing to depression and maybe what you're feeling today. Now, that doesn't mean that I believe that it's the only contributor or even that I believe that is the primary contributor to depression. But God does make us with a soul and a body and a mind, which one affects the others. And so if your body is off, then it's going to affect the other things also. If your spiritual factors are off, then it's going to affect all of them also. If your mind is off, then it's going to affect the others. So he made us very unique and very distinct and very complicated if you really look at it that way. And so I'm only going to speak towards the spiritual things. So it's kind of like this. It's kind of like when my wife gets hungry and she doesn't get anything to eat when she's hungry, she gets very hangry. She starts to get angry. She starts to get a little bit off, and she starts to demand food in that moment. It's kind of like me when I haven't had a good night's sleep. I get a little cranky during the day if I don't have the sleep that I need throughout the day. Now, that can be a spiritual issue. It doesn't mean that I don't need to pray for more patience. It doesn't mean that I need to ask God to sanctify me in that area. But sometimes the best thing for us in those situations is to go eat a Snicker bars if you're like my wife, or just to take a little 20-minute nap if you're like me, to help you in that area. Because if it's biological that's triggering those things, then maybe you just need to take a nap, or maybe you just need to eat a Snickers bar, and some of that crankiness and some of that rudeness may just go away. But in that, we need to learn that even when we are feeling those things, we need to ask God for more patience, and He needs to sanctify us in those areas. Now I want to be clear. I'm not saying that what I experience when I'm sleepy or what my wife experiences when she's hungry is the same as walking through depression, or it can be fixed as simply as just eating a Snickers bar or going to bed. I'm just making a point that there is a lot going on with our emotions. Factors are at play with both spiritual and physical. And like I said, I will only focus on the spiritual aspect in this sermon and what Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations. But for some of you who are struggling with this today, like I said, you're going to need more than what I'm going to give you in the sermon. So I want you to contact, if you are truly suffering from depression during this time, I want you to contact G4 Ministries. It's a part of the Summit Church, and they deal with a lot of different people who are dealing with depression, anxiety, addiction, and any type of struggle that deals with your emotions like that. So, and they have professional counselors there and people who are trained to help talk to you and to help you through this time in your life that you're struggling with. So I do want you to contact them. If you need their name and numbers and everything like that, I can help get that to you for this season. But like I said, depression begins typically with discouragement. As far as what most professionals say, it typically something happens in your life that causes discouragement in your life. It changes how you see your outlook of life. Your marriage isn't getting any better when you thought it would. Something happens that shatters the sense of who you are, like getting passed over from a promotion. Maybe a loved one has passed away and you're lonely. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you've been in your house for 2 months, and right now you're extremely lonely and the walls are kind of closing in on you. Maybe the threat of getting this illness has caused you to go into despair and to view life differently right now. Whatever it is, when you look into the future, all you're really seeing right now is darkness, despair. There's no light at the end of the tunnel right now. It's hard for you to even get out of bed right now. Things are bad now, and you honestly think that they will never get better in for any time soon. Well, which brings us to Lamentations chapter 3. If that's how you're feeling, trust me, you can identify with Lamentations chapter 3. The book will surprise you a little bit when I tell you kind of what it's all about. It's basically a book of complaints. It's a book of complaints to God. And so basically it's a poem of how bad everything is going right now. It's really kind of a beautiful work if you kind of break it down in its poetry. It's written in kind of an acrostic way to where each verse is represented by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 have 22 verses because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. I don't know why I had trouble saying that right there, but there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And so chapter 3 is a little bit different. It's a triple acrostic, which means there's 3 verses for every letter in the alphabet. So there's 66 verses in Jeremiah and Lamentations chapter 3, which basically what Jeremiah is doing is he's giving you his sense of feeling as far as for what he's feeling in depression, what he's feeling in suffering from A to Z. He's basically telling you his suffering in the most poetic way from A to Z that he possibly can. And so he's basically telling you from A to Z how his life is total chaos right now. And some of you can relate to that. Jeremiah lived during a time where Israel was being delivered, over to Esau because of the sin that was in their community. Israel had hardened their hearts to God many times and went to many different idols and worshiped them. And so finally, God is exiling him to the land of Babylon, just like he's promised them to do. So during his life, Jeremiah has witnessed multiple times where violent deportations of family and friends going to different countries because of Babylon and because of their sin. And he's also watched Solomon's temple get destroyed, which was kind of a symbol of faith of the country of Israel. And Jeremiah was one of the main remaining survivors in Jerusalem who actually wasn't deported. And everybody that was left kept telling themselves, well, it can't get any worse than this. The worst is over. Well, Jeremiah actually got the duty to tell everybody, you know what, guys? It was bad what happened, but God has told me that the worst has actually yet to come. And just imagine getting the assignment to tell everyone. Your job was to tell everyone that the worst has yet to come. It's like, hey guys, I know it's bad now, but just wait, it's going to get a lot worse. Like, who would actually want that job? But to make it even worse, when Jeremiah gave them this news, most people thought that he was a liar. And they called him a traitor. And they even put him in a dungeon because of what he was telling them. And Jeremiah 38:6 says that he says that he sunk up to his armpits in mud in that dungeon. And it was from that dungeon that he wrote the book of Lamentations. And so it's a place where all these poems of suffering were written. And all that to say, if you're in a bad situation, I promise you, Jeremiah gets it. He's been there with you. He's felt the despair. Your friends may not understand, but Jeremiah, I promise you, will absolutely understand to what you're feeling. So let's dive down deep into the middle of this mud pit that he's in as he's writing this book of Lamentations. Now, there's this activity that I typically do with people as if you're struggling with your emotions right now, if you're struggling with despair, I do with Lamentations 3 and sometimes Psalm 86 when David is writing his Psalms of Lament. That as I'm writing, and whenever you can identify with what the author is saying, like he's feeling despair, I want you to highlight, I want you to underline that if you can identify with what that author is saying, because I want you to see that Jeremiah felt despair, David felt despair, that you are not alone in what you're feeling right now. So read with me starting in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 1, it says, I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into the darkness without any light. So right now he feels that he has no hope, no light. Is that how you feel right now? Do you feel like you have no hope? Do you feel like you have no light? Verse 3, surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. So here's the question. Who is the he that Jeremiah is referring to here? Well, he's talking about God. He feels that God has turned his back on him, that God is not hearing him right now. Verse 4, he has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like God's not even listening to you right now? And even more, are you wondering, God, are you actually the one behind all this? Are you the one that's actually causing all this right now? And at the very least, even if you're not, you're not doing anything to stop it right now. And so here's the thing. Jeremiah knows his feelings are not true. He actually knows that. He's actually going to mention that in a few verses. But regardless, this is truly is how he's feeling right now. And some of you have gone through dark chapters in your life, and maybe you're here and your emotions are telling you the same thing that Jeremiah's emotions are telling you. Or maybe you're telling yourself, you know, real quick, Christians should never feel these emotions. They should never feel this way. Listen, the prophet Jeremiah was a real Christian and he felt this way. Can you see that you are not alone in what you're feeling right now? Verse 9, read with me. He has blocked my ways with his blocks of stone. He has made my path crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me feel desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness and sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is without peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. So ladies and gentlemen, this is the prophet Isaiah. Isn't he great? You know? And so some of you are looking at this passage and asking, it's like, is this really in the Bible? Did God actually put this in here? Shouldn't he have edited this out of the Bible when he was kind of trying to compile the Bible here? But let's take a minute and let's think about, God did put this in the Bible. God chooses to include this passage in the Bible. God could have not chosen this in the Bible and just made things out to be a lot more happier, but he did put it in there because it's true to what we feel sometimes in life, and it speaks into the ways that we feel in life. And it's okay for us to express these emotions to God when we're feeling them. You see, this lament is absolutely honest. You know, in reality, these things are not true, but in the moment, he's truly feeling those things. It's like I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's okay to be honest with God. Sometimes, in fact, I think we can be too quick at church to maybe diminish what people are feeling, and we'll say, oh, are you feeling sad? That can't be from God, you know, just start thinking happy thoughts, like that's the easiest thing to do, or just pop on some K-Love and just think inspirational thoughts, and that'll make your everything get better. And no offense to K-Love, because I like K-Love, I listen to K-Love, but what we need is a God who will walk through the pain with us, not a God who will take the pain away from us at every time pain happens. And that is what you'll find in these chapters. The greatest Christians that you'll find in the Bible were not ones that God relieved all their pain, but he walked with them in their pain. And so now look at what he says in verse 21. Now, verse 21, I'm going to be honest with you, is probably the most profound transition in all of the Bible. And he says, but this I call to mind. Now, if you have a highlighter, lipstick, pen, paper, whatever you have, I need you to underline that word, those words, because that is key to this whole passage. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Jeremiah is in this pit of despair, and he feels like the world is caving in. But now he turns to this about feeling despair, and he starts to talk about what is true. Not what he's feeling, but what is actually true. And all the feelings that he's having were real, but now we have to ask the question, is what I'm feeling true? And that is when we have to go to the Bible and remind ourselves about the promises of God and what he has said. And because of these things, he reminds us about who God is, and therefore he has hope because of the truth of God. He says in verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one shall wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Keep in mind, these verses are in the middle of a book that is all about complaining and grieving about how bad life is right now. It is no coincidence that this is right smack dab in the middle of this book, because it is the anchor point for the entire book. This is Jeremiah's answer to the spiritual dimension of depression. And so here are some points that he points out to us in those verses from 21 to 32. First, he calls to mind the goodness of God in verse 21. Now, call to mind means that this wasn't naturally in his head. He wasn't naturally thinking these thoughts. He had to force himself to think about who God is, about his goodness, and put those thoughts in his mind. And here's a phrase that I want you to remember. We must never feel our way into our beliefs, but we must believe our way into our feelings. A lot of Christians get that we walk by faith and not by sight. But we don't get there that way by faith, but they don't get that, that we walk by faith and not by feelings at times. A lot of times we just kind of go off, and our feelings is the indicator for us about what is true, about how we feel about God. So if we feel like God has forgotten me, then that must be true. Or if we feel like that God is distant from us right now, then that must be true for right now. And Jeremiah says, I feel all those things, but God's word tells me that this is not true. What I am thinking is actually a lie right now, and I choose to believe God, even though I may not be feeling it right now. And then what does Jeremiah call to mind? He calls to mind the steadfast love of God. He says, in my pain, I cling to the goodness of God. Are you doing that today? Are you clinging to who you know God is? Because of what his word reveals about his character, we can trust to know that we serve a good guy, God who loves and knows what we are going through. Because of what we've seen in the Bible too. He knew the stories of God bringing Israel out of captivity in Egypt. He has seen God protect Israel and be with Israel for many, many years. Even though that's not reality right now, he has seen the goodness of God, and he's going back to what he has seen and what he has known about God. And that's the same that we should do today. We know what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We know that he put Christ on that cross when it should have been us. We know the goodness of God. When we need to be reminded of that, we need to remind ourselves about the gospel and what God says about those things. And if you can't recall them, then call up another brother and sister in Christ and have them recite those promises to you. That's what Christian community is all about. When you're having trouble reminding yourselves of the promises of God, then that brother and sister in Christ will help you remind you of those promises of God. Which leads us to the second thing. One, we need to realize God's plans are ultimately for good and for blessing in verses 24 and 32. Notice what Jeremiah says in verse 24. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The word portion is a word that the Jews used to refer to for an allotment of land. And the inheritance was passed down to them from one family member to the next, from one generation to the next generation. And Jeremiah is saying, listen, I don't have any left. I don't have any land left. Babylon's taken it all. I have no land. I have nothing. But God is my portion. He is my inheritance. And his land is better than any land that from any family member could have given me. Think of God's blessing like a pie. One part represents maybe health. One part represents a good marriage. One part represents maybe a good job. So what piece did Jeremiah get? Well, Jeremiah says that God's presence and his fellowship with him, that's my piece of the pie. And there's nothing wrong with praying for blessing in a relationship or whether getting a good job, having a good marriage. But you know what? God's blessing and God is better than any of those blessings. In the pie of God's blessing, God is the best piece of the pie. And so Jeremiah says that he is my portion, that he is the best piece, best inheritance that I could get ever in my life. So don't get so spiritual that you overlook God's intentions for the world, that and his intentions are good. Don't just say, well, Jesus is enough. Yeah, absolutely, Jesus is enough. But Jesus came to do something on earth, and his good works also include the things that we do here on earth. In fact, David says in Psalm 27:13, I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's just not at death I'll experience the goodness of God, but it's also while I'm living on earth also, which leads us to our third point. Wake up each morning and look for the goodness of God. And he says this in verses 21 and 22, and let me reread that. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Don't you love the image of new mercies in the morning or new mornings? All the darkness, all the shadows kind of that were in the night are washed away in the morning. And today may feel like a terribly dark, a day that you have messed up greatly, and it's just full of mistakes and full of despair. But God's mercies rise new each and every morning for you. I used to cling to this verse on especially on days where I used to struggle with specific sins, and I used to mess up a lot on that certain day with those sins. But I used to cling to this verse knowing that each morning I could wake up and his mercies are new and I could start afresh for that day. For those who are in depression, who have a primary spiritual root cause for their depression, this is the hope that drives the depression away. Your emotions may be telling you that there is nothing but darkness and despair ahead, that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but you must call to mind that Jesus got out of that grave and he defeated death and he defeated sin, and that you don't have to live in that despair anymore because you have a risen Savior. Your story ultimately will end in victory and not in defeat, and that's what you need to remind yourself of daily. You need to preach the gospel to yourself each and every day. Call to mind that it is by grace that you have been saved, that you have contributed nothing to your salvation, but Jesus has done all the work for you, that the only thing you had to do was believe in what Jesus has done for you. And you may feel like Jeremiah, you may feel forsaken, you may feel like you're in despair, but call to mind the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies come new every single morning. And that is an incredible promise for us today, that even though it may be dark today, tomorrow there are new mercies for us in the morning, and we can start afresh, and he can give us, and we can have hope even though we feel hopeless in this moment. There are new mercies every morning. Great is his faithfulness. For many of you, this will be kind of a watershed moment in your life, that you don't let your emotions dictate the reality to you. Listen, again, don't feel your way into your beliefs, but believe your way into your feelings. So again, get up and look towards the goodness of God in the morning for you. Charles Spurgeon, who most of you know who Charles Spurgeon is, he's one of the great evangelicals of all time. But did you know he actually struggled with depression for most of his life? And here's what he said about his depression, which I think is incredibly profound. I find no better cure for my depression than to trust in the Lord with all my heart and to seek to realize afresh the power of the peace-speaking blood of Jesus and his infinite love in dying upon the cross to put away all my transgressions. Listen, you're not alone in what you're feeling if this is what you're feeling today. Preach the gospel to yourself. Don't let your feelings dictate what is true. Go to the Word of God. Go to what God has said, because what he has said is actually true about himself and about you. So remind yourself of what God has said. Remind yourself of Lamentations 3, 21 and 22. This I call to mind, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Thank God for what he has told us in his word. And thank God that his mercies are new every single morning. And we have hope because of what Jesus has done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the truth that it is. Father, I pray that if someone is struggling right now with depression, they cling to this verse and that they see the hope that they have in Christ. So Father, we pray that today, we see great is your faithfulness and that your mercies are new each and every day. And Father, that we cling to that truth and that you are out for your own good. And because you're out for your own good, it's for our good also. So Father, help remind us of that. Father, we pray that you will just continue to use this time to sanctify us, to show us where the dark places in our hearts are. And that, Father, that we will come out of this a stronger and more faith-driven follower of you, and that the world will see the difference that you make in our lives. And, Father, we ask this in your name. Amen.